graduating students, seminarians, family, faculty, relatives, and friends. Finally, is there such a reality as finally? With all of the speeches, the sermons, the addresses, you have finally come to this point where there may be some reality after all as you receive this diploma authenticating the work which you have completed, enabling you by your call to enter into the holy ministry. This is a day that's mixed with emotion, perhaps joy in that assignments will no longer be given. Also some fear as you begin the journey to the destination of your call or your chosen field. There is something to say for the protection of a faculty and a classroom which you are about to leave. The theme of my address to you tonight is the word works. Let it work in your work. This is an appropriate theme, I believe, as it stands between two possible extreme attitudes. On the one hand, there is no room for arrogance as to your own personal capability. And on the other hand, there's no room for deathly fear that would immobilize you to do the work which God has chosen you to do. The word works, let it work in your work, is something to remember when you face the obstacles and the challenges that you will face. There will be those that you will soon come to know who have an idea that the word doesn't work and therefore it needs to be tinkered with. It needs to be massaged. It needs to be molded. It needs to be shaped to fit the culture, the time, and the space, because they're of the opinion that the word doesn't work. This is an address this evening. It's not a sermon. If it were a sermon, we could perhaps turn to the scriptures and find there some ingredients that tell us that this word works. We would be told that this word is authoritative. We would be told by passages in the scripture that this word is sufficient. It is clear, and it is efficacious. The word works. I speak to you tonight as perhaps a kind of a senior, not so much so if you compare the class of 46, but if you compare it to class of 61, it means 40 years. It's a milestone. And if there's anything learned in 40 years, it is this, that the word works. I can also tell you that there will be times in your ministry when you will be filled with doubt. There will be times when you will be in the valley. There will be times when you feel like you are walking in the parched desert in a famished soul. There are times when you will feel that you are in the valley. But clinging to that word, you will know that the word works, even and especially in the dark days. You too will be able to look back and be able to say, "Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." The Lutheran Heritage Foundation, which I have the privilege to serve, was born during a time when you might call it some of the darkest days in my ministry. But today, as I look back and I think about all the things that have transpired, I thank God for the clarity of His will in the history that the Word works. This week, I heard from a pastor in the field who had just had the joy of confirming his first junior confirmand in his small rural parish. That joy was quickly turned to sorrow when the family of that child came to him and said they were leaving the church because it just didn't offer everything that they felt needed for their child. What does he have to lean on? Where can he find refreshment for his defeated, dejected, disheartened soul? He can find it by realizing that the Word works, even if parents or individuals fail to understand that it works, that it has power. How can we be convinced that the Word works? As you stand on the threshold of this new endeavor that you are soon to undertake, you could talk to any faculty member here tonight, and for that matter, to any soldier of the cross, man, woman, or child, and you would find the evidence that the Word works. Bishop Nehemiah Bomani reminded me on Tuesday through the email from Tanzania that the Word works. He invited me to his consecration as the bishop of a diocese around the eastern shore of Lake Victoria in September. And he says, "The Lutheran Heritage Foundation has come to be very helpful in our church today. We are now getting the Lutheran confessions in our language. It is very wonderful that in the 21st century, Dr. Martin Luther has learned to speak Swahili, and his writings and the Book of Concord are available in Swahili. In my diocese, Luther is now in the final touches of learning to speak Swahili, which is spoken by 6 million people. 3.5 million Lutherans in Tanzania. And when the catechism was published in the Swahili language and 200,000 copies were distributed in Kenya and Tanzania, someone approached Dr. Ansi Simeoki, the Lutheran Heritage Foundation Vice President for Africa, and he asked, 150 years, why did it take so long? Why did it take so long?" The word in their language works. And members of this faculty have seen the evidence of that as they have visited in Kenya and Tanzania. The word works. And we want to make this very clear this night, because this is a kind of a reminder to each and every one of us that we should never disbelieve that there is a weakness in this word. The word works, and as a result of one Bible and five catechisms being sent to Sudan, there is now a new Lutheran church being born and growing in this country where some of the worst persecution of Christians is taking place. In this place, the Word of God, Lutheran confessions, and the writings of our church are being put into the Zandi language. A little over a year ago, Reverend Andrew Mabugu Elisa was ordained as the pastor, the president of this church body, which at that time numbered 8 congregations and 1,000 members. On February 28th, I was there to dedicate Concordia Lutheran Institute for the Holy Ministry so that more pastors will be ready to serve this growing church, 16 pastors being trained, 14 people for leadership in the church, 30 students in that opening seminary class, to serve a church body that now numbers 21 congregations and 5,000 members. And Dr. Ansi Simeoki, just a month ago, was in Yambio in southern Sudan, where a new church building was dedicated. Even in the south, the Word of God is being proclaimed through the Lutheran Church. A Pentecostal church in deep Siberia gets in touch with Reverend Vsevolod Litkin, and he asks if he can come to meet with them as they have received books published by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, and they exclaim, "We think we should be Lutheran. The Word works." An entire church body in several regions of the world are prepared to assume a Lutheran identity because of the books being translated and published. Nigeria and Rwanda are areas where we see evidence of the Word that works, as 30 or 40 congregations are possibly preparing to affiliate with a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I understand tonight that there is a member of this class who is being called to the most beautiful church in all the world. And as you begin to look around and wonder who that individual is who has this call to the most beautiful church in all the world, I want to tell you who that is by sharing with you a story. And you will discover that that individual who is being called to the most beautiful church in the world is you. I was asked one time in St. Petersburg, Russia, if I'd like to see a cemetery. Wasn't in a cemetery at that point, 8 years ago, in Russia. And I said, yes, I'd be interested. So we started to walk. In the distance, I could see this hill covered with white birch trees. And as we walked, I was told the story of a church which once was situated at the bottom of the hill, and it was destroyed by the communists. And every time that this congregation attempted to worship, they were disbanded, dispersed, disrupted. They could never worship God in peace. Until one day they accidentally discovered that when they worshiped in the cemetery, no one bothered them. We climbed the hill. I stumbled a couple times as I climbed. I was stumbling over little pieces of iron that were sticking up out of the ground that had rusted off at their base. Some of them had been there for 300 years. And I got to the top of the hill, and there was a clearing. Some of those white birch trees had been cut down, and they had been laid out in a seating arrangement. And up in the front, there was a rough-hewn wood altar. And I stood at that altar, and I looked out at the congregation, and I saw the sight that made me conclude it had to be the most beautiful church in all the world. Because it was a cemetery, and the crosses which marked the graves. Every place there was a cross, the tree trunk was adjusted so that the cross would not be disrupted. And here these people came to worship. In the summer, in the winter, the fall, the spring, in the heat, the cold, the snow, the rain, they gathered on this holy hill. And I could see them gathering together and coming to these tree trunks. And as they came with their disappointment, their heartaches. They came with their uncertainties. And they took their place on the tree trunk, and someone sat next to them and said, "Yes, there's disappointment, uncertainty, but we believe there's hope." Others took their place on the tree trunk, I believe, as they came with heavy hearts, loneliness, sorrow in their hearts over the loss of a loved one, maybe one who had been carted off into deep Siberia and never heard from again, or someone who died a natural death a month ago, year ago, 5, 10, 25, it didn't make any difference. They came to take their place with a heavy heart. Others sat next to them, and they said to one another, "Yes, there's sorrow, there's heartache and loneliness, but we believe there's eternal life." And as I thought about these things, I thought about the places of worship, some of the places that you're going to. And places that have stained glass windows, that have padded pews, that have a beautiful organ and large congregations, which seems to be the pattern that develops in our society, in our world, which determines whether or not this is a successful church, and the real picture of the church is lost. And that's why I'm telling you tonight that you are being called to one of the most beautiful churches in all the world. Because there's only one thing that makes a church beautiful, and that's what we have to learn. That's what we have to remind our own church. That's what we have to remind ourselves about. There's only one thing that makes the church beautiful, and that is the pure preaching of the Word of God. That's what makes a church beautiful. Your church can be the most beautiful church in all the world if you preach the pure Word of God. Finally, I want to share with you a personal note and also a little gift that may seem somewhat insignificant to you. I would like to share with you and have you take along, because this is a little gift that's appearing in places all over the world. It has a message all of its own, which tells us the word works. Let it work in your work. Not too many years ago, both my mother and father died. My father died in February, my mother died in July. Came time for us to break up this family farm home in rural Minnesota. Each member of the family was given an opportunity to go into the home and take out one item which would serve as a special keepsake. Didn't take me long to determine what it was I wanted. Something that hangs in my office right now. Rather insignificant to many people, perhaps, but special. A little plaque that hung in that family farm home for 62 years of their married life. Two such plaques were very familiar, very popular in the late 40s, early 50s in rural farm homes. One plaque said, "Prayer changes things." The other plaque, which I took down from that wall, and before I hung it in my office, I took it to a printer and asked him, "Could you reproduce this in its exact form in a bookmark?" And today, all over the world, this little bookmark is appearing with a message that says, "Jesus never fails." See, this is tied in with the word that works. Because we know that our health fails us, people fail us, things fail us, but there is one who will never fail us. And he it is that goes with you. Through the power of that word. Yes, the word works. Let it work in your work. Thank you.